Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Today, a look at the impact of Tulsa's Habitat for Humanity, which is celebrating its 25th anniversary year this year and on track to serve their 300th family with a new home during this anniversary year. Over the years, Habitat has built homes around the city, but have concentrated in three main neighborhoods: the South Haven neighborhood in southwest Tulsa, where 80 families live in Habitat homes, the Ben Franklin neighborhood in North Tulsa, where 56 families live, and now the Crutchfield neighborhood, just northeast of the interdispersal loop in central Tulsa. And home ownership has had a major effect on these neighborhoods, from crime issues to social services needs to the overall attractiveness of the neighborhood. Now Habitat, in addition to building homes with partner families and volunteers, is extending its reach to look at the neighborhoods themselves. A Brush with Kindness is a new program of Habitat, which kicks off today in the Crutchfield neighborhood through Sunday, and it will be helping all sorts of families within the neighborhood, both Habitat and non-Habitat families, with home improvements, repairs, and accessibilities on the exterior of their homes. Things like exterior painting, landscaping, yard cleanup, accessibility ramp builds, gutter and fence repair, home-specific repair and maintenance, which will improve the attractiveness and overall revitalization of the neighborhood. Joining me today is the Executive Director President of Tulsa Habitat for Humanity, Dr. Paul Kent, and he joins us today on Studio Tulsa. Paul Kent, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us, and congratulations on Tulsa Habitat's 25th anniversary coming up.
Thank you so much, Rich.
Tulsa's Habitat for Humanity has really come a long ways in that 25 years. I guess you got started maybe about 12, 13 years after the national organization, but you're on track to serve your 300th family this year.
That's right. Yeah, it's quite a milestone. We chartered in 1988 and then remodeled our first home. I think it was about 1989. And over the first few years, that's all we were doing. We would get an existing house and remodel it, sell it to one of our families.
Mm-hmm. But since really, what, about 1994, 1993, 92, yeah. You've been building houses.
Yeah, we have. We found that that was what people really liked doing. And we also found that when we would go into some of these really old homes that we were remodeling, you found too many things that were unexpected. And they just became, they created a real
money pits.
Money pit, yeah. I'm glad you knew what I was talking about. So yeah. It did. And so it was a little easier for us to predict and to plan building new homes. And that's really what most Habitat's affiliates started doing then.
And we think of Habitat, a lot of times we think of a house here, a house there. Mm-hmm. Really one of the things Tulsa's Habitat has done is really looked at a neighborhood and really tried to change a neighborhood. It seems like that's been a goal over the last few years.
It is. I was on the board of directors. I actually got involved here in Tulsa back in 1996. I've been around the affiliate, a good while, but there in the late 90s, Judy Kishner with the Zero Foundation, the Zero Family Foundation, came to us, and she had seen a neighborhood that pretty much had been abandoned and thought this would be a great place for Habitat to be able to build. And so starting in the late 90s, we started building up in a neighborhood that's called Ben Franklin. It's platted as Ben Franklin, and mm-hmm. we started building there, and over the next 10 years, basically built 50 new homes.
Wow. You're on track to serve 300 families. Mm-hmm. What is the percentage of families that are still in those homes and paying their mortgage each month in Habitat families? Have you had any mortgage burnings yet?
We've had a couple of families who have bought their homes outright. And, one of the questions people always ask is about foreclosures. And really, we've only had maybe out of our 300 families one foreclosure. And then we've had a few houses that were deeded back to us. But over 95% of our families that we built with are still there, which is a great track record. Yeah, and that's what we want. I don't want houses back. I build these things for families. I build it to, Habitat, really what we try to do is create the opportunity for home ownership for families who otherwise would probably not have a chance to buy a home.
And once they have that home, they have the equity in the home. How does that change their financial outlook? Because a lot of times their income doesn't change all that much. I mean, they may meet the income requirement to have a mortgage with mm-hmm. you. But as far as, I would think a lot of those families are still making about the same money as they did when they bought the house. But what does home ownership afford them in other ways?
Well, one thing that it affords them is it does afford them stability And it also gives them a sense of control of their destiny that I would say that sometimes if you're living in rental property, you don't feel like you have any control over it because you've got a landlord. That landlord can raise the rent on you if they want to, and so you lose that control. Yeah. So home ownership, you know, I would tell you it creates a sense of stability for families and for children. That is one of the keys for them to grow up in life and to do well is knowing that I've got my own house to grow up in. And I start thinking about as we build in neighborhoods that then these children typically will go to the same school, same elementary school. And imagine what happens then if we can build 50, 60 homes in a school district where those children who are in those homes go to one elementary school. And the school now knows these children are going to be here from K through 5. And teachers don't see all the changing in their classrooms like they might if, you know, 95% of the families were living in rental property because people who live in rental tend to move a lot.
You're now working in your third neighborhood now. This mm-hmm. is the Crutchfield neighborhood, but the first two were South Haven and Southwest Tulsa, mm-hmm. then Ben Franklin neighborhood you mentioned, which is far north Tulsa, north right. of Apache and east of Highway 75. Mm-hmm. How have those neighborhoods changed since you have this new element of stable home ownership?
Well, I can tell you over the years I've met several people who were sheriffs or policemen that used to patrol down in the South Haven neighborhood, and they would tell you back in the late 90s, that was a place that's where they used to train their newbies, the new police and the new sheriffs. And so they would put them down there because of so much of the criminal activity that was happening. And as a result of Habitat coming in, a lot of that vast majority is now gone. And so you see really a much more stable neighborhood. As a result down in the in South Haven, as a result of the 80 families, 80 homes that we'd built down there, this past year, there was a $7 million project that was completed. It's called the Cornerstone Community Center, and it was funded by lots of the major foundations and families here in Tulsa, and it's become a community center that serves that neighborhood. But their director would tell you, Pastor Willard Jones, who founded it, he would tell you that the reason that they were able to raise the money was because of the Habitat families who lived there in that neighborhood.
Do you find that Habitat neighborhoods spur private development as well, as far as if you build a whole bunch of new houses in an area, you find developers sort of piggybacking on that because you have a stable neighborhood?
You know, that's a dream that we have. You know, I'd have to say, unfortunately, most of the neighborhoods where we build
they're low
typically
income,
be low income.
So, there's not a huge profit to be made in building
and
houses.
And so we call these, they're called hard-to-develop neighborhoods. So they typically are older neighborhoods, you know, where homes like in Crutchfield, where we're building just north of 244, that neighborhood, a lot of the homes were built back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. And in the 60s, when some of the manufacturing facilities moved out, that neighborhood started to see a lot of a flight where people started leaving. And so it was not an area that was developed anymore, and it fell into blighted conditions.
Are they pretty small houses in that area, like 800 to 1,200 square feet?
Yeah, they're probably 1,000 square feet or even less. Mm-hmm. Our homes that we build now are three-bedroom, one bath. They're 1,120 square feet, so they fit into that environment.
Mm-hmm. Talk about this newest area you're working in. It's the Crutchfield neighborhood. This is bordered east of U.S. 75, north of I-244. Kind of where those two highways intersect, mm-hmm. and then south of Pine and west of Utica, just to the northeast of downtown, really.
Yeah. Five minutes from downtown. Imagine that. And this was a neighborhood we actually built in back in 99 and 2000. We built eight homes, but we could never buy any more property. And about 2 years ago, we were able to work a partnership with the Tulsa Development Authority, and we purchased some properties from them. And over the past 19 months, we've actually built 17 new homes. And so as we were there in that neighborhood, we became friends with people who were part of the Crutchfield Neighborhood Association. These were people who had actually been very active almost 20 years. And back in 2003, they established a neighborhood revitalization plan and worked with the city. That was actually the Urban Planning Department and Crutchfield worked together. And so they established a plan and got a number of things accomplished. But as we've come in there and started building new homes, we saw this as another opportunity to help revitalize or to re-energize a project that was 10 years old now. So, you know, building new homes gave us, and the fact that there was a neighborhood association that was active gave us really the impetus to be able to try to do something to help the families who already own their homes. These are non-habitat families who actually own their homes. So we're doing some exterior repair projects on about 14 different homes, painting. We're doing some accessibility issues, building some ramps. We're re-siding, roofing, putting storm windows on a couple of houses. So we're trying to help people who to really create a sustainable house, something that they're going to be able to live in, you know, for the next 10 years. And as we build new homes and we do these type of projects over the next 3 years, it protects the property value. And so this is a great deal for the county. It's a great deal for their neighborhood. Imagine being 5 minutes from downtown, and if you had a job in downtown, not having to travel very far. So we see this, you know, especially for a lot of the service industry, people who work in maybe restaurants and other venues downtown, this could become their neighborhood.
Yeah, and with Habitat holding the mortgages, this also protects your investment as well.
Well,
not that you're out to make a profit, but you know, you definitely want to hold the value of the homes you build.
Well, we do, and really what we're trying to do is protect our families' property value. That's the most important thing. This is not about Habitat because we're a nonprofit, so we don't, you know, our mortgages are zero interest, so we make no money off of the mortgages, and in fact the principal off of those mortgages, it goes back into helping us work with families to continue to do work in home ownership solutions, building new homes, doing a brush with kindness. You know, we've got to buy land, so it helps us in a lot of ways.
Let's talk about a brush with kindness. Okay. This is a new initiative that you're kicking off. It's basically a neighborhood cleanup in Crutchfield.
Well, it is doing two things. One, a brush with kindness, it's going to become an ongoing part of Habitat's strategy for really revitalizing neighborhoods. So we will find neighborhoods like Crutchfield where we can both build new homes but also work with existing homeowners, non-Habitat people, and help them with their homes. And it really protects everybody there.
This is the exterior thing you were talking about earlier.
And so,
but you're also talking about doing brush hogging and everything.
Oh,
you know, you were talking to me off air beforehand. You said you found a sidewalk, a perfectly serviceable sidewalk that had been covered with grass.
Exactly. I mean, it was in front of an old church that no longer met. It had been abandoned years ago. And so the grass, nobody was maintaining the yard or the sidewalks. And so the grass, you know, like it would do anywhere, it overgrew and overtook the sidewalk. And we got out there within 30 minutes. We've got a whole strip of probably 75 to 100 feet of sidewalk that looks really clean. So a brush with kindness is a 4-day project we're doing, and we're bringing people from all over Tulsa to help us. It's very similar to what Rebuilding Together Tulsa does. Great other nonprofit that really works in home ownership issues. But what we're tackling is focusing on one neighborhood where we can have a big impact over a 3-year period of time. We're committed to doing that with the neighborhood.
So what sort of work are you going to be doing?
This weekend, actually starting on Thursday and Friday, we'll be working on 14 different houses on projects. So we'll be painting and doing a lot of other upkeep like that. And then we're also going to be working in alleys, which I didn't even know existed up here until I started building here. But let me say, when we went to the Crutchfield neighborhood, you know, we wanted to come and be able to help, but we wanted to do something that they felt was most important. So I asked them, I said, tell me your top three priorities. And they said, number one, it would be to clean the alleys, because alleys become a haven for really poor choices that people make. And so for us, cleaning it really will help to reduce any criminal activity that might take place. Two, it was to try to work on some of the vacant lots that were there, to try to clean them up. And then three was to work on kind of the sidewalk street area. So that, once again, you think when you drive in and you see nice clean curbs rather than seeing grass overtaking it and hanging out into the streets, it looks like a really good neighborhood. And so we're going to be trimming trees, we're cutting trees down. I mean, I've been in the alley already today, and we've been clearing it, and it makes such a huge difference. And so
these alleys abandoned for all intents and purposes, where you couldn't even drive something through the alley?
Exactly. Yeah.
You had trees probably growing.
Yeah. Once again,
brush.
You know, we were clearing hackberries out. I mean, you know, things that just overtook it. There were vines. And so we're clearing those. And because of that, it will become a safer environment as you're able to look down and see what's happening and not a place to be able to hide.
You mentioned this is an ongoing, new ongoing project. Mm-hmm. Is this something you anticipate doing in your other property areas, or will it be a prelude to maybe working in a new area, or what exactly?
That's a great question. Our affiliate has just recently adopted a five-year vision, and part of that is going to be that we're going to help 125 people become homeowners in the next 5 years, but then we're going to try to find five neighborhoods to be able to do a Brush with Kindness kind of neighborhood revitalization projects with. So we'll try to find some good neighborhoods where we can both build new homes as well as help existing homeowners.
Do those two have to be connected, the fact that you're building homes in an area for you to work in a neighborhood?
It's going to work best for us just because we're a small organization, and so it helps us to become more efficient with our work to be able to kind of manage the projects.
My guest today is Paul Kent. He is the executive director of Habitat for Humanity, the Tulsa chapter, and they're celebrating their 25th anniversary year. They're expected to actually serve their 300th family in the fall of this year, maybe the spring of 2014, but 300 families and working in a number of neighborhoods as well as single houses around the area that have been built by a vast array of religious organizations. I know businesses have come in. Give us a sense of who helps build a Habitat house.
Oh, gosh. That would be hard to really name everybody, but
you've had interfaith houses?
Well, we have interfaith. We just did that, and so we had like Temple Israel, Boston Avenue, the Church of Jesus Christ Latter-day Saints, the Islamic Society from here in Tulsa. So they partnered. Most of the mainline churches have been part of our ministry. People like Hilti, which Hilti is our large financial sponsor as well as our planning coordinating sponsor of A Brush with Kindness. So we couldn't have been doing this massive of project without them, but they've been building. Bank of America, Samson, Bank of Oklahoma has built with us. Churches like St. Bernard's has built with us for like 15 years, Trinity Episcopal, over probably 175 different organizations. This spring, One Oak has still been building. They've done their ninth home with us, Matrix Magellan Unit. The list just goes on and on. And it's because, and let me say, our sponsors, what they do is they typically put the sponsorship money up to cover the cost of a house. And so we try to raise about $65,000 to $70,000 to cover the cost of building that house. That's got the land, it's got the infrastructure, it's got all the materials in it. Our families, the home comes with a dishwasher disposal, microwave, washer, dryer, things that we feel like really needs to, that will help the family. So because we don't go out and borrow money, because we have partners who put it up and then they typically will come and help build, we can offer those zero interest mortgages, no profit built into it. So when the total cost of a project might be $85,000, families will typically have a mortgage of like $70,000 for 20 years, average monthly payments probably $475. Imagine buying a brand new home, $475.
Probably cheaper in rent than a lot of neighborhoods.
It is. And our families, typically when we're vetting them, they probably, most of our families, I bet you average $650 to $700 a month to have an okay place to live. And so now, you're buying a home and this is going to be yours. And, and once again, our families stay in their homes.
That's still, when you think about it, if their monthly income is $700 a month and they're spending $450, $475 for rent, that's still probably higher guidelines than any bank, any lending institution would ever even consider.
Yeah, when we're vetting people today, our families have to have a minimum of $19,000 a year is their mm-hmm. annual wages that they need. We look to see just what... we basically try to hold people to about 30% of their monthly income for home ownership. So we're doing the same thing that mortgage companies do. We try to look at your long-term debt, and we try to hold that to 43%, which is kind of the standard now. The Dodd-Frank Act and the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau and all that, we're following guidelines. And because the last thing, again, that we want is to create a hardship for a family. So that's why we have to vet people so carefully.
Give us a sense of what the vetting is to be a Habitat family.
Well, we look at people's income, and so we try to make sure they have a stable place that they've been living. So we try to look at how long they've lived in an apartment or a rent house, and we talked to that. We got a letter of reference from their employer because we want to be sure people have stability in their job. So typically our families have to have have been working where they are for at least a year. And so those are some of the things that we do. And we try to – we look at their credit history, kind of a try to see what their pattern of spending is. Just you get a credit report. But basically, you know, I've got people on our selection committee who are bankers or in the lending industry, and we try to be very careful because, again, for us to set people up for failure – it's not good. That's the last thing I want. So we try to work on the front end to be sure we have people who will succeed on the back end.
Do you have any success stories of families that have maybe come into a Habitat house? You know, because there's no interest, they're basically paying right into all principal on their payment. You're building up equity pretty quickly. Can they parlay that into something better down the road?
You would think they would, but, you know, the fact that a family has zero interest, they would never get that anywhere else.
And so, that's true.
I was looking, there's a new development in kind of Midtown area over here toward TU, and I saw, you know, it's a brand new home, going to be $850 a month. And I thought, well, that's not much bigger than a Habitat house, and it's got a garage on it, but, you know, for $850, that's almost twice, you know, what our families will pay. So they'd never have another opportunity like this, and that's why it is very good for them.
My guest today is Paul Kent, the Executive Director of Habitat for Humanity. The Tulsa chapter is celebrating its 25th anniversary year, expected to serve their 300th family in the fall of this year, and they're embarking on a new program at Habitat, A Brush with Kindness, which is basically helping non-Habitat families in neighborhoods that Habitat is working in, and helping them with minor exterior issues and sort of basically cleaning up neighborhoods is basically what you're
exactly
working
in. Yeah, we've got probably 600 people coming from around town right now that are going to come work Thursday, Friday, Saturday, a few people on Sunday. And if there's one thing I know about Tulsans, it's they love to help their neighbors. And that's what A Brush with Kindness is about, neighbors helping neighbors.
Now, give me a sense that you're working in three or four neighborhoods, South Haven, Ben Franklin, and Crutchfield. Can you give a sense of how those neighborhoods have changed since you have so many Habitat houses in a particular neighborhood?
Well, because of that, you see a lot of people who take care of their yards. You know, a lot of the property was overgrown with trees and weeds, and so we've gone in there. We just cleared out a piece of property that I bet you it had 35 trees on it. Imagine that. And I mean, that means we not only cut them down, we have to clear the tree stumps out of it.
Right.
But you take a piece of property like that, here's one of the great values of Habitat. That vacant piece of property was probably $50 in property tax. Put a home on it now, and property tax becomes about $800 to $900. Now, that may not sound good for a homeowner, but, you know, for the county, it becomes wonderful for the county as it gets property tax like that. So this past year, I think we wrote a check from all of our mortgages for about $170,000 on property tax. So that's pretty good for the city. And it really, you know, again, for a neighborhood, then as you build homes in it and you've got homeowners, which homeownership is really the key to creating a thriving neighborhood. They typically say somewhere about 60% of the residents need to be homeowners. But, you know, like, again, South Haven, you've seen criminal activity go way, way down because of the work that's happened there. The U.S. Marshals Office 10 years ago donated some properties to us, like 9 pieces of property, because of the work that we had done. And they said, this is good. We know that building new homes, creating home ownership there is worth partnering with Habitat on.
Well, we mentioned this is the 25th anniversary. It might be a time to sort of take stock of what you've accomplished and maybe set new goals. What is the organization doing? I mean, obviously, you're getting into this neighborhood idea with A Brush with Kindness and this strategy of building a lot of homes in a particular neighborhood. What are sort of the priorities you see for the next 25 years?
Well, as I said, we're going to continue to build new homes with families, but we're the other big priority really is to identify 5 neighborhoods that we can go in and try to work with the homeowners there to make their neighborhoods more livable, more sustainable, because once again, as you impact just a neighborhood, that has a greater impact on the surrounding area. So it impacts your businesses, it impacts the schools. So it's a win-win for everybody.
Now, I was just thinking as you were talking there about how a neighborhood's changed with an influx of Habitat houses and how much property tax you pay a year. Mm-hmm. Have you found that, like, your property tax is going up in certain areas because the overall value of the neighborhood has increased since you began building houses there?
Well, I would know in those neighborhoods where we've built 50 and 80 homes, property taxes have gone up. I've not done an analysis of Crutchfield yet. We'll just have to see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. And as far as your families go, how close in touch is Habitat? I mean, obviously you're holding a mortgage, so you're mm-hmm. somewhat in touch, but it seems like the relationship's probably a little closer than your average mortgagee and mortgager.
Well, of course it is, because our families have spent a year already working with us. You know, our families now, we do the Dave Ramsey Financial Peace University Money Management class. And I've had families, you know, his number one step there is to create an emergency fund of $500 to $1,000. When he's working with Habitat families, he'd say $500. And that is something totally radical with our families. And I've had several families who have said, you know, I've already had to dip into it, but I had it, and it changed my whole perspective on life, knowing that I had $500 there, that if my car broke down, I could go to it. And so, you know, we're trying to prepare people financially. We also have some classes where we're teaching them some basic skills on maintenance, how to use certain tools.
You know, I would say people in middle and upper middle class, you know, they're spending an awful lot of their paycheck, but they have access to credit.
Right.
And a lot of times lower socioeconomic groups don't have that access to credit. You know, they're living paycheck to paycheck, and one, you know, the car going out, one medical emergency, all of a sudden they're in very precarious shape towards paying the mortgage, keeping the utilities on, that sort of thing.
Exactly. So that's why we think it's also very important to try to teach them, you know, money management skills. We have one night where one of our leaders comes in and talks about how to shop in the grocery store. And you start understanding the psychology behind marketing, and you see how I can control my money by understanding how things are placed and making some different choices. We've tried to teach people how to shop for nutritional food products and inexpensively, how to save some money there and make your dollar, how to stretch your dollar. That's important. I mean, it's all about helping people succeed, and that's what we want to see happen with our families.
Well, congratulations on 25 years. We look forward to seeing that 300th family served here in a few months, or maybe 4 or 5 months, and look forward to the new initiatives of A Brush with Kindness. I guess you're always looking for volunteers, right?
We're always looking for volunteers, you know, and probably like most nonprofits, we're challenged with getting sponsorships to come out and build with us, but also to financially support us, you know, because building costs have continued to go up. So that means we've had to, you know, raise more money in order to build homes. So, you know, and I think most people would say really they are blessed with the Habitat work because they get to work side by side with the family that they are building for. And, you know, you think about, I've got four houses that I worked on with my church that I used to be part of, and my new church, we built one. And I think about, gosh, I can come back. And in fact, I've driven by these homes that we built, and I see the families, and I go, God, I remember when that little kid was a little boy, and now he's getting ready to go off to college. And, you know, and so there's so many rewards.
That's a success story.
It is.
If he's going to college, because all of a sudden he's breaking the cycle.
It is. And that's what, you know, we think home ownership really helps to do with children.
Congratulations, Paul.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for joining us.
I appreciate it.
Paul Kent is the executive director of Tulsa Habitat for Humanity, celebrating its 25th anniversary this year. A Brush with Kindness, the new program of Tulsa Habitat, kicks off today and runs through Sunday in Tulsa's historic Crutchfield neighborhood. If you'd like to learn how you can help, either this weekend or in a future Brush with Kindness event, visit TulsaHabitat.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher.